Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is To plenary call number 37 on the 6th of August, 2018 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today is Dimitri, Susan, Volker, Lily, Alan, and Erica. From ICANN.org, we have Alice, Brenda, Lisa, Steve, and Amy. We have no observers at this moment. We do have apologies for delays from Chris and Catherine, and Jean-Baptiste has sent his apologies. Today's call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the transcript. And Alan, I will turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the first conference call following our third plenary. And to start with, is there anyone with any statement of interest? Changes. And I'll note we had expected changes from myself, Chris, and Stephanie. If those have, due to the EPDP, if those haven't been submitted, I would appreciate if they would be. And I presume Brenda or someone will bug you if they weren't done. And the first substantive item we have is the review of the subgroup status report. And I believe, presume I will turn it over to Lisa for that.
Thanks, Alan. And this is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. we had essentially all of the subgroup status reports turned in updated form since our face-to-face meeting, with the exception of the anything new section, which was not turned in. Some of the subgroup reports only went to the subgroups and not to the full review team, but we did forward those to the full review team list over the weekend, and so all of those should have been available for everyone to review in advance of this call, again, with the exception of anything new. I would note that some of those updated reports included new proposed recommendations. That would be data accuracy and law enforcement needs. And the consumer trust update actually removed some recommendations and turned them into observations. I presume Erica will cover that when we get there. And the one section, in addition to updated reports, that we have not yet received is the executive summary, which, Alan, I know that you and Susan were drafting.
Yes, and when we get to that at the end of the list, I'll tell you where we are in that one. So without any delay, why don't we start looking at the specific subgroup reports. Yeah, I'm sorry. I see we had a sub-item saying, what do we do with missing reports? The only one is missing. And that's anything new, and if we don't get that, I would say by the end of business today, then Susan will provide that one, or Susan and I will provide that one. Lisa, does the end of business today work for you, or do you want it sooner than that?
I think it's actually up to you all, given that that would leave you essentially a week to review it in advance of trying to approve it next on our next call.
Let's give Stephanie to the end of the afternoon where we are, where she is, and where I am, assuming they are the same thing. That's another 6 hours or so. And after that, either I or Susan will do something. And with that, let's go on to the recommendations.
And this is Lisa again. The first set of recommendations are from Catherine, but since Catherine has not yet joined us, do you want to move on?
Let's do that and come back. If she doesn't join us by the time we finish this, we'll go over them anyway.
So that brings us to the outreach section. Not to jump over the subgroup for single who is policy, but there are no new recommendations or really substantive changes to that draft. So that's why we did not prepare a slide for that.
That's fine.
And the floor is yours, Alan.
Okay. This one, we remember the original recommendation had a conditional, that is, charter a group or have the community decide whether we need to do something. I think we decided in Brussels we have a strong enough case to simply say do it, but the details indeed should be governed by the but with community input. And the resultant recommendation I had was with community input, the ICANN board should instruct the ICANN organization to identify which groups outside of those that routinely engage with ICANN should be targeted effectively through WHOIS outreach. I'm not sure that quite reads properly. A WHOIS outreach plan should be developed, executed, and documented. WHOIS inaccuracy reporting was identified as an issue requiring additional education. Outreach and may require a particular focus. The need for and details of the outreach may vary depending on the ultimate GDPR implementation and cannot be detailed at this point. The only question I have is, do we want to make it more as an ongoing process as opposed to a one-time process? This sort of says, build a plan, do it once, and then stop. And I'm wondering if we should include some words that make it more ongoing. But with that, I'll open the floor. And I see no hands, no voices. And Lisa, please go ahead. And then Volker.
Thanks, Alan. I'll just point out that when editing this recommendation to frame it in the context of the ICANN board instructing ICANN organization, it wasn't clear to me whether you wanted this recommendation to essentially spin up a group that would look at who should be targeted or whether you wanted the organization to do that identification. So just calling that to your attention as you think about how to frame the recommendation.
We have enough groups in ICANN. I'm really reluctant to say go charter a new group, but it says with community input, which could be a public comment or some other form. So I'm happy to leave it relatively vague, you know, saying you can't do it just with staff sitting in a room. So I think that covers it, but if I'm wrong, please speak up. We have Volker and Susan in the queue. Volker?
Thanks, Alan. I think maybe instead of chartering a group, we should just ask ICANN to take into account community input, and that would maybe take care of your concern there. I also think that there's a certain charm in having an ongoing view process and outreach program, since WHOIS policy is undergoing constant changes, especially now, and therefore the documentation that ICANN has prepared 5 years ago or even 2 years ago would not be applicable today anymore. So there should be a constant review and re-review within reason, I guess, but still to make sure that all the documentation is provided up to date and that new technologies or new venues of communications are exploited to the best of the ability of ICANN.
Okay, thank you, Volker. So the current one starts off with community input, so I presume that covers your first concern. The second thing I heard you say is not only should 3.2 be ongoing, but 3.1, that is the documentation on the website, should be something that should be kept up to date. That's perhaps intuitively obvious, but clearly that's not something that ICANN has necessarily done in the past. So I would suggest, based on what you just said, that both 3.2 and 3.1 be modified to imply an ongoing responsibility in addition to the one time. I think that maps to what you just said, but if not, put yourself back in the queue. Susan?
I just want to agree that it should be ongoing. And I think Volker made all the right statements there. So.
Okay, thank you. Volker?
Yes, Alan, thank you. You were right on the money. That's exactly what I intended, because one of the problems that ICANN has had in the past is outdated materials and things like the internet website, where still nobody knows who it belongs to and who manages that. So to avoid that in the future, I think we should make it an ongoing concern. documentation be kept up to date, and therefore websites and all other venues be exploited that way. Yeah. So
thank you. That was an interesting discussion we had in Brussels on internet. Anyone listening here who wants to know about it can go back and find it, but it was interesting. I see no more cues. I'm finished in that case. Lisa, back to you. And I have two action items to modify recommendation 3.1 and 3.2 to imply an ongoing responsibility as well.
Thanks, Ellen. This is Lisa again for the transcript. And so just to note, in the full text of the recommendation where there's a section on implementation where you describe what successful implementation looks like, that would also be a good place to amplify that you would like to see ongoing maintenance of both this plan and the documentation. So we'll give
you
the action to modify both of the recommendation text, though, to imply the ongoing action. And with that, we'll go to the next group. And that would be Susan. The floor is over to you. We pulled out one of the recommendations here for the slide, which had some placeholder text that you filled in, but please feel free to cover any aspect of your update that you think needs plenary attention.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. And I just sort of plugged a number into this. So the ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to assess grandfathered domain names to determine if information is missing from the WHOIS registrant field. If 10% of domain names are found to lack data in the registrant field, then the ICANN board should initiate action. So in reviewing the documentation that we received additional responses from GDD on this, on the grandfathered domains, and during the meeting. And according to them, it's 180 million grandfathered domain names are still, in that status. So 10% was 180 million, whatever. 10% of that is still a substantial number. So I picked 10%. I am willing to be flexible on that number. I also went through the report on the grandfathered domains and updated it to the current stats for the latest report that I had drafted most of this before the latest report came up, but I updated the report to reflect those numbers. I'm also still really concerned about this number because in doing the math, the trend may be going down, but the trend is going down for two reasons. One is growth of new domain registrations. The other is, which would dilute that number. The other is, some of these domain registrations are going away. But I don't think it's at a number, at a sort of a speed that is still acceptable. So 180 million domain names, to be in that status is still concerning to me. So that's why I did the 10%. Volker, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Susan. I still think that we should definitely acknowledge the trend of domain names going down, registrations going down, and I would not see the new registrations as being such a factor in that number. This is from quarter to quarter, a drop by almost 10% over that the WHOIS ARF has presented here, and that's in line with the previous quarters as well. So we might want to adjust that to an effect that if over X period of time, less than 10% of domain names are found to be in required data, I think we should be clear on that. Required data in the registrant field, then action should be initiated. I think that's something that we could live with. And the timeline going forward there would be then looking at what the current trend shows plus a little bit of leeway. So I would estimate an additional year going forward. After that, we would have that review, and after that, if the trend has not borne out, then we should, then we can look at taking action, not before.
So you're saying, so the collection requirements, I didn't fill in the month, so we, you'd want to do 12 months?
I haven't done the math, and I will probably, I apologize, I wanted to do this before today, but this was a busy weekend. So I will try to have a look at the completed documentation, the complete report by tomorrow, and just make a suggestion here. But if we look at the trend that we have shown in the ARS, then if we look at the table and we draw out the timeline, then we will see a time when it should hit 0%. And if we then say by that time where it should hit 0%, if that trend that we have bears out, when if it then still has maybe 20, maybe 10, 15% of domain names that would be lacking or 10% that would be lacking, then action should be taken. So basically we're saying we see this trend, we think that this trend will lead to a number that would be acceptable, but if that is not the case, then action should be taken. I think I can live with that, and I would be able to defend that with registrars, even though they will demand my head.
Okay, so it would be helpful if you could provide the language, you know, once you've had time to review that again. But I'm still concerned with not the percentage, but the overall number, 180 million domain name registration, and maybe GDD is not right. Maybe their calculations are wrong, but that was, we asked how many domain names is our grandfather, and they came back with 180 million, unless I misunderstood their response. So, you know, if we all of a sudden get a tremendous spike in registrations and we have, I don't know, a billion domain name registrations, still having 180 million of those, you know, would lower the percentage, but it would still be 180 million domain name registration. So, but we don't, you know, we don't know if this is a problem or not. So I agree with that point of view. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. No matter what the curve shows now, it's not going to, even if it's linear at the moment, it doesn't stay linear. These things always slow down. So saying it has to reach, it's going to reach zero, and seeing if it does, we almost certainly know what the answer is there. We can formulate a relatively complex formula on what when the ICANN board should take some action. We know they're not going to accept our recommendations for close to a year from now. You know, 9 months maybe, whatever the time is, certainly sometime in the July timeframe, 2019. So there will have been a change there. We can try to predict something, but I would suggest that in this version, we leave the number 10%. Let's not try to do a lot of arithmetic. We can put a square bracket note if perhaps, you know, saying the actual threshold is under discussion. And then when we do the final report, we can either put in something more complex to be the trigger or leave it as the number if that seems appropriate at the time. I wouldn't waste a lot of time right now trying to refine it. Let's put it out for comment and see where it goes. But, you know, regardless of what the comments is, we can reword this. And I think if we're going to reword it with a threshold that is meaningful to both Susan and Volker, we're probably going to end up with something that may be more complex than we want, but let's defer that discussion and just get this out right now. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan, and back to you, Volker.
Yes, thank you. And, Alan, I fully agree. We will probably never hit 0%. This is going to flatten out at a certain point, but that's why I said that we should look at the date when 0% would be reached under ideal circumstances. then take the 10% or 15% or whatever number we want to plug in there, acknowledging that there will be a flattening out. So, but by that time, there should be a noticeable result in that direction. So that's my first point. And the second point, I agree that we will probably have at least a year, but even after that time, we should be recognizant of the effects that any board action or community action on those domain names will have. This is going to be very painful for a lot of registrants, and the registrants that have will have to defend whatever actions they take to force the registrants to come into compliance with this. So and they will bear the brunt of the consumer anger, even though it's an icon policy, if and when domain names go down that probably could have gone stayed up for forever, because they weren't harming anyone. They were just missing their emails or having some data not in the present in the field where it should be. So there's certain risks that we should bear in mind when we make such a recommendation, that there could be effects very severe. And I would be very cautious about having a too ambitious goal here.
Okay, and back to you, Alan.
Thank you, Susan. Volker, are you okay with leaving that number and a note saying it is still under discussion? So we shouldn't spend a lot of time on this
yes,
right now. Thank you very much.
I think we should do that. I'll review it tomorrow and come back to you.
Okay, and you know, if the note can say we are in discussion, input would be welcome, whatever. I just don't want to agonize over a number here, and we have a lot more substantive work to do.
So, Carlton, I just want to address your – I'm not sure on the $180 million, how long it's hovered there. So maybe I can connect with Amy and clarify some of this after the call. And, Lisa, I don't know if there was anything else. Was there any other slides for my portion of this?
This is Lisa. Susan, no, there wasn't. Although, if there was anything you wanted to bring to the attention of the plenary group, I know you had a number of recommendations that you fleshed out the supporting details for. If there was anything you wanted to call to the attention of everyone during the review, would be the time. If not, we can move on.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think this was the biggest thing, to update the report to the stats from the latest report, the ARS report. So, all right, I'm done.
All right, so advancing the slide, we have pulled out the table from Lily's report on data accuracy. Unfortunately, Alan, Lily has had to leave the call due to a family emergency. Do you want to try to cover this? Do you want to...
Let's come back to this one. Is there an indication she may be back or not? I didn't see her message.
This is Alan. She did not indicate whether she would be back, I'm afraid.
Okay. Let's hold it to the end, and then we'll go back and review it at the same time as we do the other ones we missed.
All right, and that takes us to Volker's recommendations in privacy proxy. And before we go there, just to recap the action on compliance, then Susan, is to incorporate a note that the percentage is under review, and input is welcome, correct?
While
right,
we're waiting,
Volker.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to hand things over to Volker.
Okay, thank you. The first one, still 100% happy with the language, but I think we're very close to what we wanted to achieve. Not sure if I used notes correctly there, but basically saying that if there's a timeline to implementation at the time where we say the time frame ends, then of course no action would be required. But otherwise, if there is no timeline to implementation at that time, then obviously the board should propose the amendment that discussed in Brussels, and I think that will be non-contentious. Maybe just have a look at the language if I actually said what I meant, and that way we would be safe. Any comments? None, I'm moving on.
Some of us are still reading.
Sorry, I'm too fast as usual.
Yep, that's fine. Yep.
And while you're reading, the last one just added the second recommendation. As discussed, that there obviously should be a review of the recommendation 10, but we cannot currently do that as the implementation is still ongoing of the PPSAI. And therefore, we recommend that the next RDS review team or any successor review team, whatever. I mean, I'm not sure there will even be another RDS review team, but there might be combined ones or whatever. So you might want to catch that too, but at least by the next review team that deals with RDS, that should have this baked into there.
It's Alan. I think we said we should word that saying the ICANN board should recommend to the next review team that the PPSA SAI policy be reviewed, or the implementation be reviewed. So we may want to reword it like that, just to be consistent.
So not just the effectiveness of the implementation, but the implementation itself?
I guess the implementation will be done according to the implementation review team, so we can't really second guess that. So I guess the effectiveness, yeah.
Okay.
And whatever wording we decide on, the same wording should be used for the IDN recommendation as well. Lisa, do you feel comfortable rewording it for that? Or I see your hand is up. Or do you want Volker to do it?
Lisa?
This is Lisa. That actually is why my hand was up.
Okay.
I struggled with precisely how to reword those two recommendations, and so I didn't. But I've typed in the chat, I believe what you want is the ICANN board should recommend to the next review team that they
That's
review
correct.
The effectiveness, et cetera.
That's correct.
All right. Very good. Then, yes, staff can take that action on to apply that to the two recommendations that it affects.
Okay. Thank you. And next.
Volker, still you.
Obviously. Common interface. There's not many changes in the first recommendation, just a word here or there, but the gist is still what we discussed in Brussels. I don't think there's much need to for discussion, but you might just want to check again if that's recommended. Basically that I can should check that the common interface is actually usable in most cases and returning meaningful results. And not just saying, yeah, well, there are cottages, but we don't know why and how many there are, which we, I think, agreed is not satisfactory. Just a thought at this point, and I apologize. It's late, but I mean the RDS will have SLAs baked into it, and maybe we you could just recommend that the RDAP SLAs also in some form or shape take this into account. Late answer anything that affects Ellen.
Yeah, I'd like to do something I don't really normally want to do, but reopen an issue from Brussels. I'm really concerned that we're not explicitly saying and compliance-related issues should be referred to compliance. I know we said in Brussels that of course it must be, but I've seen enough things that must be that aren't. So I'm wondering, can we get agreement to add a sentence, saying if the metrics indicate that registrar/registry responsibilities are not being honored, that compliance issues be referred to compliance or something like that. Volker?
Yes, it sounds harmless enough. I just wonder how I can staff, the compliance staff could then use that against us. I mean, the problem is that we recognize that many of these outages or failures to serve up data are not necessarily compliance issues. So I think we should recognize, if we add language to that effect, we should also recognize that in most cases, not returning a result is not necessarily a compliance issue, but, for example, due to rate limiting, which is absolutely legitimate under all the SLAs and the requirements of the RAA and all policies. So we should be cognizant of that fact that having no result and having a failure in the lookup function of the common interface does not automatically lead to compliance action, maybe in that way.
No, but similarly, if I file a report saying such and such a registrar is not providing who is service at all, they're not going to take action because of that. They'll investigate. So I would presume the same thing would be true here.
Yes. Lisa, can you add an action item to that I will refine the language and add something to that effect? Lisa? Go ahead.
Volker, could you reiterate what you'd like the action to cover?
Basically, where Alan suggested that some form of referral mechanism to ICANN compliance in case the data that is collected this way by this recommendation leads to or indicates failure of a registrar to be in compliance with its obligation under the IA or policies. So basically, a compliance link in there.
Okay, we can certainly record that action. The reason I raised my hand is tracking metrics for something like this is a bit different than tracking non-compliant records for subsequent action. With metrics, you measure something over time, and you maybe establish a pattern of, for example, we've said, how often is the data displayed inconsistently overall and per GTLD. So you might observe a pattern that a certain GTLD has data being inconsistent more often. But that doesn't necessarily give you the specific response information that would lead to a compliance action. So my question is, how do you see that linkage actually working?
That's a good question, and that's actually what I also just tried to raise. So thanks for rephrasing that. I think that if this data shows a pattern of abuse of non-compliance, then ICANN compliance should be poked to investigate this, just to make sure that there is some form of feedback channel where this data flows back. But like I said, this is going to be a bit of a puzzler, and I will have to think of how to correctly phrase that.
Yeah,
so that's why I asked you to wanted to ask. It's
Alan. I think the kind of if language you're talking about is fine. We're not specifying at what point do you refer or at what point does compliance have to take action. Just implying that if patterns are found, which might imply a compliance problem, that compliance be alerted to the issue. The word alerted as opposed to take action is probably right.
I don't like the word, but like I said, I'll come back to with something
tomorrow. Okay. Thank you. I'll be happy with that. Lisa, back to you.
All right. Thank you. So we'll note for Volker in action that he'll update recommendation 11.1 to reflect that if patterns are found that suggest compliance action, compliance would be triggered, and we'll let Volker work on the exact language of that. Volker, I think we're still with you with recommendation 11.2.
Yes, thank you for switching the page. Basically, what we said, the recommendation, as we discussed in Brussels, to ensure that the common interface be kept up to date with new policy developments and contractual changes. Basically enshrining an obligation upon ICANN to update this portal and ensure that it doesn't become as stale and useless as the internet portal had become over time before it was replaced. And of course, second point that's also included in there is the ensuring that both registry and registrar who is output be reflected on the portal as we are recognizing that these may now differ. Although that may change.
Volker, if you could speak up a little bit. Some people are having a hard time hearing you.
Apologies. Sorry, Carlton. Second point of that recommendation is, of course, that part of this, keeping the portal up to date, is also ensuring that in case there are differing outputs from registries and registrars on the same domain name, then both should be queried by the portal and both should be displayed in parallel. How that would be designed, that would be up to ICANN, but ultimately make sure that all data is available that can be publicly accessed.
Lisa?
So I just wanted to be clear in our face-to-face meeting, and Volker had an action to indicate whether this was port 43 or web output or both. And the resolution, Volker, it sounds like, is it's port 43 only?
Yes. I thought about that, and technically, I don't see any way that ICANN would be able to access the web portals of the registrars in a consistent manner because they have certain access limitations that ICANN would have to work around. For example, captures that would have to be entered on the registrar level for the web whois. So the only effective way that I could see that this portal could be maintained at same cost levels, I would assume, would be having it on port 43, but that's obviously something the group could that we could still discuss. That was just my own conclusion. That's why I put it in this recommendation like this, But doing a web-based query for every domain name on the whois and on the registrar and registry whois is technically not as easy as doing it by port 43. And I do recognize that in some cases the web-based whois may be even more complete than the port 43, but there's just so many different implementations of web-based whois outputs and queries, query systems that it would be difficult for ICANN to keep abreast of all of those.
Volker, it's Alan. that may be the case, but we know that port 43 doesn't always work. So specifying only port 43, I don't think is a viable answer to this. Being silent, I can accept. But specifying port 43 when we know port 43 is going to be unreliable in some cases, and perhaps going forward more cases, I have a problem there.
Yes, I see what you mean, but ultimately I think the web base is going to be even more unreliable than the port 43 output.
Well, but we're precluding ICANN defining a new format with port 4973, which is used only by ICANN. I just don't think the recommendation should be that specific. If there's an implementation issue, they'll come back to the implementation review team that we're supposed to be setting up with this, and we can discuss the details. But I don't think we should be that specific on the implementation, especially when we know with that specificity it won't work for some cases. And remember, my example I used to drive this was GoDaddy, and we know 443 doesn't work with GoDaddy right now. So
we can remove the two words, 443, and just leave it open.
I'm absolutely happy if we do that.
Any other takers? Lisa?
This is Lisa for the transcript. So I do struggle with removing port 43. The reference to port 43 in its entirety, because I'm not sure that gives ICANN specific enough direction as to what to implement. If all we're trying to do is provide a single point at which you make the same query that you could make by going directly to the registry and registrar, then I think you want to be clear about the way in which the registry and registrar should be queried. Provide additional information that wouldn't be obtained through the registry and registrar, that's when, some other, special port that ICANN can only use would come into play. But if what you're trying to do is just provide that common interface, I really do think you need to say which interface it is you're trying to provide in common.
Lisa, it's Alan. I disagree. When the interfaces were defined, they were presumed to have the same output. Right now, they may be very different. And as a result, I don't think we should be specifying one, especially when it's the one that may well not work. And the web-based one we know has limitations and due to rate limitations and things like that, which might not be easy for ICANN to get around. So I think we should put the requirement on them and let ICANN decide how they're going to do it. I mean, ICANN could say I'll use port 43, but if port 43 fails to respond or gives up the data, I will do screen scraping. I'm not recommending it, and I shudder to think how they would implement it. But I don't want to preclude it by wording the recommendation in such a restrictive way that we can end up with a common interface WHOIS portal which doesn't provide information. I mean, right now, if you look at a GoDaddy.org, .org provides nothing, and GoDaddy on 443 provide nothing. So we're not providing a really good service at that point.
This is Lisa again. My concern is not so much that you specify the port, but that you're clear on what the objective of the interface is. Is the objective just to show what the registry and registrar would show had the person doing the query gone directly there?
Yes.
Or is the objective to provide more?
No, not more. The registry and registrar provide whatever they provide, but right now the registrars offer, in theory, two paths, and in practice, those two paths can result in radically different information. Now, that may be fixed completely by the time EPDP finishes, but we don't know.
So I think as long as the supporting text for this recommendation is pretty clear on that objective, that will work, you know, and then not specifying whether it's port 43 or web. My only concern is that
I don't think anything we're saying there says that the common interface should deliver more information than the registrar and registry normally give. This is not a GDPR workaround.
Alan, what we should be insisting on is that the common interface gives you the same data, common data, and that's what we should be insisting on. It's the output that we're concerned about, not how we get there.
And by removing port 43, I think it says that.
Okay, sounds good. Let's do it that way.
Let's move on.
We've lost Lisa, but she's in the process of rejoining the call, just so you know.
Lisa?
Ding.
Oh, sorry, that was Lisa you said is rejoining. My apologies, I misheard.
No problem. I think she's back. Lisa, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm back. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we can move on to IDN, Dimitri.
Hey, this is Dimitri. For the record, well, I totally agree with the addition that reviewing should be delayed until RDAP is in use. So I provided rationale, visibility, and other points to the report. I don't think we need to add something here.
Lisa, please go ahead.
Just to point out that the same.
You're running the session. You don't have to put your hand up.
sure, I do. Just to point out, the same editorial change would be made to this recommendation as to the one we noted previously on privacy proxy that the board would suggest to the next review team.
That is correct, except this one has an added thing. It has to be after the work is actually done, and I guess the same is true for privacy proxy. We're hoping 5 years from now it will have been done by then. But ignore what I just said. Let's just presume the board will have the smarts to not tell someone to review something if the work hasn't actually been done.
So then the other point that I would raise is, Dimitri, since you weren't with us at the face-to-face meeting, was there anything else that you had a question on with respect to the changes that were made to your draft?
Sorry? Okay, if something is still missing, I will update the draft, yeah.
But my question was whether you had any questions on the updates made to the draft.
No. I have no objections, and the updates were reasonable and minimal.
Okay, good. So it sounds like we have no further action on these recommendations with other than the editorial change to the framing of the recommendation itself, which staff will take care of. All right, let's move on to the next, which is unfortunately one of Lily's. Alan, since you made an alternative suggestion here, would you like to go ahead and cover it, assuming Lily's not coming back to us?
Let's do that. If people can look at Lily's word, I found it still, number one, a little bit prescriptive, and number two, it wasn't really talking about what reports and plans we were talking about. It's a bit too late to revise how we do the ones for Review Team 1. And we really are, it is out of our scope to tell them how to do everything in any plan or report they ever publish. So I think the target of this review is the implementation for Review Team 2, for our review teams. And so I rephrased it in what I think is a little bit cleaner language, and specifically referring to the Who Is 2 recommendations, resulting in ICANN board should ensure the implementation of Who Is 2 RDS review team recommendations, use best practice project management methodology, and ensuring that plans and reports clearly address progress and effectiveness where applicable, using metrics as tracking tools. Because not everything is metrified. So I think it captures what Lily was saying, but puts the focus on our new on the new recommendation, not the old ones. And yes, Lisa, there may well be typos there. If you could send a note to Lily with that rationale, or do you want me to? Just so she knows what I've done. This was in a document I sent her, but unfortunately she couldn't open it for some reason.
So we can incorporate that in the output from today's call and note this place in the transcript if she wants to listen to your rationale. The one thing I would note in your rewording, Alan, is that Lily made a point in her last sentence of calling out it should be included in the annual report, and I don't see your recommendation touching on the annual report, or is that what you mean by plans and reports?
Well, I actually left it out because I wasn't sure what annual report she was talking about. Is she talking about the ICANN annual report or an annual report related to Who Is? If it's the ICANN annual report, I'm not sure that a report on the Who Is implementation is something that fits well into that structure. It may or may not in any given year. So I guess I left out that descriptive and simply said, you know, when you do reports. Maybe somebody else has insight as to what she meant. I really don't think this necessarily fits into the definitive ICANN report.
ICANN annual report. I think she meant the corporate annual report.
Okay, and I'm...
I'm
go ahead, please.
This is Lisa. I'm not sure that's true because I believe that if I'm not mistaken, we talked about the intro to this recommendation section saying, in addition to the implementation and annual reports that were recommended by the first review team, this recommendation was offered. So I think it was intended to be the annual Who Is implementation report, but we obviously should be clear, whichever it is.
How about saying all reports then? Put in the word all before reports. I mean, we don't know whether there's going to be quarterly ones, half annual reports, annual reports, monthly reports.
Mm-hmm. So are we comfortable giving Lily the action to clarify which reports this refers to, and if all reports.
Sure, but I would put the word all in this one, and then ask her to clarify if it needs more clarification. by the way, use instead of using. I had use, and I changed it to using just before patching it into the chat for this to be included. Obviously, I haven't finished my second coffee yet.
Yeah, and just to note, part of the feedback or response that you received from ICANN organization on the updates they already have underway refer to the requirement of the bylaws that there be an annual review implementation report, and possibly that's the report that is intended here, but clearly it needs to be specified.
Okay. I'm happy if you want to add more specificity, and I'm happy if we just use the word all, and presumably people know how to parse that word, but I'm happy either way. But we can certainly ask Lily to call to be more specific.
So the wording of that notwithstanding, are people comfortable then with Alan's alternatives? Suggestion as the recommendation that we'll be moving forward with in our next round of edits.
Yeah, it's good. I would also add Alan's all to it, and I note you use the word use, you change the use. That sounds right.
I mean, if nothing else, even if we revert to the old wording, we need to say what plans and reports are we talking about? It needs to be in reference to ours, because that's the only thing we have scope to talk about.
Right. Right. So we'll indicate for today's call that the Alan's alternative suggestion for 15.1 is agreed by those on the call, with the those typos corrected and some additional refinement on which reports are being referenced.
Yep.
Good. Then we'll move on if there are no further comments on this one.
Nope.
That takes us to law enforcement needs, which unfortunately Catherine is not with us to discuss. But she did formulate this draft recommendation based on her takeaway of the preliminary survey reports, which, of course, we're not yet discussing the survey reports since the survey itself is open. Alan, do you have any thoughts on how we, you know, quickly obtain feedback on this new recommendation?
Well,
in time for us to include it.
Yeah, I have a question. This doesn't seem to be in relation to law enforcement. I presume she's talking about law enforcement because it says it should be extended to cybersecurity professionals and others with legitimate purpose, but we need a reference to law enforcement in the beginning.
Yes, I assume when she talks about the effectiveness
about
of who is, that was right. When she says effectiveness of who is, she probably meant effectiveness of who is to meet the needs of law enforcement.
Yeah. I think that needs to be added.
That's what she meant. Because the survey right now is the argument survey was pitched at law enforcement, however that was defined.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question. I'm only pointing out the recommendation has to be clear about that. So the implication is we are not going to have any recommendations based on the results of the survey.
Seems to be the case.
Volker, please go ahead.
Just 2 points, one very minor and the other get to later. Just seeing here in the recommendation who is, and I think we've used it in others as well, I think we should replace all references to who is, at least in the recommendations, to RDS, because as we know, who is, the future of who is may not be called who is, and we should be clear that we mean whatever is serving that function in the future. That's the first point. And the second point is I'm a bit struggling with the second part, the second bullet point of the recommendation, because it's so broad and open and doesn't give any clue of who is actually meant by some of the terms. I mean, what is a cybersecurity professional? Probably anyone that works in the domain space and has to do with abuse cases could call themselves a cybersecurity professional, even myself, as a registrar, a cybersecurity professional handling the abuse function. I think if we use terminology like that, we should define it very precisely what we mean by it. And I'm not sure if the text of the rest of the report does that with sufficient clarity. And I also think that the reference to the legitimate purpose is too broad, because even though you may have a legitimate purpose for using such data, it may still be locked out from you for various legal reasons. So, for example, Iranian law enforcement might have a very legitimate purpose in their law for accessing registration data of citizens, but that would not be considered a legitimate purpose by the registrar where the registrar is sitting. I'm struggling with that word as well, with that term as well. I think that should be more in the terminology of the GDPR, with some restrictions baked into that language. But I'm not sure how to do that yet. It's just something that I'm concerned about. Alan?
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. I think your reference of EPDP and GDPR is right on. We are going to have some really difficult discussions on trying to decide how we establish authenticated access and who's accredited and who's accredited to get what. And those are not discussions that we want to either hold here or prejudge the output on. So maybe we need a footnote or a caveat, saying we understand this terminology is going to be subject to refinement over the next year, and leave it at that. I really don't think we want to go there, but I don't think we can ignore the issue either.
Great.
Lisa?
This is Lisa. So I think what Catherine was trying to do is the first half of this recommendation, and possibly it's two recommendations, was to recommend that the kind of survey that's being conducted now to determine whether the needs of law enforcement are being effectively met, that it should be continued and ongoing. And then in her second paragraph, I think what she was trying to get at is that similar efforts to survey should be done for other groups in addition to law enforcement, but other groups that policy might determine have a legitimate need for who is data. And that would be a recommendation for the future, not something that this group here struggles with. So maybe really what we need is for Catherine to refine the language for that second part to state more clearly, who would do those studies? How would you is the determination of those with legitimate purpose from policy? And what time frame does she envision this?
I would be careful. I read what she said as cybersecurity professionals and others with legitimate cybersecurity purpose. Otherwise, you're widening this open or opening up this wide to include intellectual property and anyone with a voyeuristic tendency. Perhaps cybersecurity and similar professionals.
could we maybe just use open language that would just refer to the EPDP? Leave out cybersecurity professional, leave out other Whois users, but just make a reference to whoever the EPDP determines should have a legitimate form of access.
No, I don't think so, Volker, because we're talking about a recommendation under law enforcement needs. And if you're saying, what you're saying implicitly is that when we decide on various classifications of access under the EPDP and its follow-on parts associated with accreditation, that we should periodically survey to see if we're really meeting needs, which is true, but I don't think that has anything to do with law enforcement. So I think that would be scope creep in the extreme.
Could I suggest you say should extend to other qualified Whois user security groups?
I
leave it at that?
I'm happy with that, and as I said, I think we need a footnote of some sort, a footnote or a qualification saying this is going to be fleshed out as we work through GDPR access requirements or access procedures. Now, Erica's had her hand up for quite a while. Let's give her a chance.
Thanks, Alan. I mean, that's a topic I'm always I'm a bit concerned about, and because of many reasons. Because, I mean, who is actually able to get the such kind of data and reliable data? In particular, if in the future, who is going to be less visible? So who is actually able to make such kind of judgment? Now, there are in different regions in the world, there are certain entities who are able maybe to gather such kind of information on behalf of the law enforcement people requested by ICANN. But is this, how reliable is this data actually going to be? I find this puzzling. Typically, what you would do and what you would request is from an entity to make transparency reports, and these transparency reports would show how many law enforcement requests were successful or failed, or were not be able to be met because the request was not in accordance with local law. So that's typically what is done. Just to ask ICANN actually to do such kind of assessment, I find this, it can't work. It doesn't matter how you turn it around. It's impossible that it can work.
Okay. It's Alan. First of all, I know we have just slightly over 15 minutes left in this call and a lot more to do.
We don't have to discuss it.
Sorry.
I don't care what comes out of it. I just say I don't believe it can work.
Yeah. Just to be clear, Alice, are we on a two-hour call?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So sorry about the 15-minute warning. That's not applicable.
No problem.
Yeah. My only comment here is we cannot extend this past law enforcement in these recommendations because that's where our scope is.
Think if you say other qualified user groups and then you put the qualification that you suggested, Alan, that would take care of it because using the word qualified suggests that there's another process to become a qualified user group. And adding the footnote that talks about how GDPR and so on would make that even clearer.
Yeah, just remember how we got here. We got here saying maybe we should extend our survey to what we call cybersecurity professionals, regardless of whether we can define them today or not. And what we said is we'd put a recommendation in that we do this. So we're not trying to do it any wider than that. I would leave it as cybersecurity and related professionals and not imply that it's anything past that.
This is Lisa. If I might, I put something in chat, but it seems to me that the recommendation as it's formulated is putting the cart before the horse. I don't know if that translates in all languages, but that the first step is to identify this, you know, who that additional audience is, and that probably falls to the EPDP. And then the second step would then be to implement studies to determine the effectiveness of who is in meeting those needs.
It's Alan. The EPDP, with any luck, will be dead and gone by the time the board accepts our recommendations, or pretty close to that anyway. So I don't think we can target a recommendation at the EPDP, because the board to give a recommendation through the EPDP in July 2019 is probably going to be a bit late. But we can certainly make reference to these this terminology may well be fleshed out by the EPDP as it progresses. Volker?
Yes, I am just a bit concerned that leaving this, even the first part as it is, as it stands, might turn into a self-driving car again with ICANN in a way that we are conducting surveys and studies and find out that, yes, indeed, who is not effective in meeting the needs of law enforcement, but we're not asking the question why that is. Maybe there are very legitimate reasons why these needs are not met, like GDPR, like jurisdictional issues, like legal requirements for certain parties in certain jurisdictions to have a subpoena. That would frustrate law enforcement needs, but not be an issue that ICANN can really address. So we are just asking part of the question that we should be asking or that we might be asking, and therefore we're getting a result that would lead to actionism when ICANN finds out here we are not addressing law enforcement needs with the product that we have, which is WHOIS, and therefore we need to do something. Which is a wrong conclusion, because the conclusion may just be we're not addressing the needs, but there's nothing we can do about that, nothing that we should do about that. So, and that part of the conclusion that ICANN might make is taking out of the equation here, and I think that this has a very direct, a very distinct direction, which might not be the direction that ICANN needs to move in going forward.
Okay, let me, it's Alan, let me ask a question. We have a bylaw requirement to review WHOIS RDS, WHOIS RDS slash. One of the subparts of that is review the effectiveness for law enforcement. Unless we are recommending that section be excised and removed, and I have not heard anything to that effect, what does this recommendation say that is not implicit in the bylaws already? The only thing it says is, and it doesn't say it clearly if it's saying that, is that we should be doing this periodically, not just waiting for a 5-year review. Is that indeed what we're saying or not?
Alan, this is Lisa.
Please go ahead.
I think the intention of the first bullet here was to say that the study should be ongoing, not performed every 5 years.
Okay.
The intention of the second bullet seems to be to extend beyond the strict definition of law enforcement. And I don't know, I don't want to put words in Catherine's mouth that she didn't express, but she may be saying that cybersecurity professionals support law enforcement, and so meeting law enforcement needs includes meeting the needs of cybersecurity professionals.
I believe that is exactly what the intent was. And that's why I suggested removing the others with legitimate purpose and saying and related, because it implies there has to be a law enforcement tie-in. Susan.
Thanks. I just wanted to agree, and actually I think I either brought this up or agreed with Catherine at the time. I can't remember who suggested it first, but, you know, it's really hard to talk about law enforcement and the actual work without all the cybersecurity professionals too, because so much is fed up from, you know, from the cybersecurity professionals to law enforcement. They work in conjunction. But I do agree that it's too broad. You know, the last part of that second bullet, others with a legitimate purpose, I think that will become confusing down the way. So, you know, adding Alan's terminology related would be fine with me. But I do think it, this is just simply to target all of the other types of professionals that work in conjunction with law enforcement, but not to broaden it as far as IP interests.
So are we agreed on that?
Yes.
So we have two changes. One is to make sure that the first paragraph refer to law enforcement. So effectiveness of law enforcement in of who is in relation to law enforcement. And the second is to remove the last phrase and others with legitimate purpose and put cybersecurity and related professionals. And pass that by Catherine to see if that changes her overall intent.
And this is Lisa. I suggest that we split this into two recommendations, being that they are really different recommendations, although they both involve surveying.
I agree. Volker?
I'm still a bit concerned that we are including cybersecurity professionals because, as you say, that is a bit of a mission creep because they are not law enforcement per se, and that's what this subgroup is actually dealing with. But I have no objections to, for example, saying that when we are adding the law enforcement section to the first paragraph, that we put in related parties in that, at that point, because that would make they would be related to law enforcement specifically in a way that they would be empowered in some form or shape, similar to law enforcement. But that would open the barn doors to every to every Jim and Bob who once looked up who is and now claims that they're a cybersecurity specialist.
Yeah, Volker, I'd suggest we keep it as two separate ones and introduce the cybersecurity part in the second one. The reason is the first one is implementable as it is today by simply doing it more. We know what law enforcement is today. So I would not confuse the first one by that is say do it on a regular basis, not only wait for the next review team, and the second one introduce it. And I think along the way we discussed, you know, saying that we are expecting the EPDP and follow-on processes to more care to better define the concept of cybersecurity professionals. So put the onus on them to define it.
To define it and whether to include them in this.
Yeah. Well,
I can't hear Volker at all.
Yeah, Volker said to and to decide whether to include them. Well, if we now put it as a second recommendation, the board obviously has the discretion to say we reject that recommendation or not. I mean, to be honest, if implicitly, if the cybersecurity professionals do not do their job properly and cannot feed to law enforcement, then who is not meeting the needs of law enforcement. So it's almost implicit in the first part anyway, but we're saying you should actually talk to these people instead of just asking for secondhand remarks from law enforcement who are their quasi-partners. So I think it's a reasonable thing. We know we can't define it, but we're saying we can't.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing. I think that's what Suzanne was saying, that they are conjoined, and that's why it is a good thing to have the second recommendation laid out as you're pointing out.
Volker, can you live with that for this version? Still not the final draft, final report.
I mean, there's still going to be a public comment space, so
yeah.
For now, it's okay, I think.
Okay, I think we have closure on this. Before we go, Lisa, I'll let you make any final comments, and before we go on to the next item, I have something I'd like to add.
Nothing for me.
Okay. Someone along the way, I think it was Volker, said we should replace WHOIS with RDS. I would suggest we standardize on WHOIS/RDS. The WHOIS is still there. We still have a WHOIS.ICANN.org. People are going to refer to it as WHOIS for time immemorial, no matter when we change the words. So to make sure that everything we talk about is understandable, I would suggest we use something like WHOIS/RDS or RDS/WHOIS and be consistent about it.
And just amend that WHOIS. It's missing the I.
Ah. 15.1 is missing an I. Correct. Is using the joint term sound reasonable? Or Lisa, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just to note that in our terms of reference, we used RDS and then in parentheses WHOIS, I believe. So if we adopt whatever the terminology was in the terms of reference and just be consistent.
That's fine.
And thank you for pointing that out. That's been bothering me too.
Back to you, Lisa.
All right, this is Lisa again. I think we're up to consumer trust, and that would be over to Erica. Erica, if you're talking, you're on mute.
Yep, it takes about a second. Sorry, I just had to go back, switch computers. So yes, what I have done after the discussion we had in about this topic in Brussels, I reviewed and the question whether it's necessary to have recommendations for this particular chapter. And so my conclusion is, if we would go for recommendation, we would need quite detailed recommendation, and I don't believe this is going to be helpful, because the nature of the topic, consumer and trust, is quite vague, and it's in particular quite vague in the ICANN-WHOIS environment. And two, insofar, anything would be highly speculative, and I wouldn't like this. So I picked up by he raised in the meeting we had in Brussels, how about turning this into observation? So that's what I have done here. So the first one is nothing new. This is a topic we debated already before. So there's nothing really new. I just turned this into an observation instead of a recommendation. And the second, I took the, which came actually out from the question which we raised at the beginning about how transparent are reseller and how much do they, apologies, I have a cold, and how much do they, how much is actually the information they provide is actually visible. So when I reviewed what resellers are offering online, and I reviewed in connection ICANN and registries and registrar work as well, I found these information about WHOIS and related information to consumers is relatively poor on most of the pages. So that's why I made the second observation. So these are not two observations and no recommendation. You want me to read them, or can you read them yourself? Have I lost you all, or what is happening? I can't hear Joan.
We're still with you.
Okay.
Just reading.
So, I
can try to read, or Lisa, can you read? Just can't speak not well. The second observation, which is the only one which is which is new.
Sure. This is Lisa for the transcript. So the first observation is about lack of reseller transparency, and that was previously a recommendation in Erica's draft. The second observation is web pages from ICANN, registries, registrars, resellers offer little easily readable information for consumers in relation to the use or non-use of Whois data. We recommend that after the implementation of the new Whois system, more attention is given to ensure that these web pages cover relevant information for consumers. And Eric, I've put into chat, I struggle a little bit with, are these issues that have been raised with no recommendations, or are these recommendations? And the reason that I ask the latter, even though you've said they're not recommendations, is that it says we recommend.
Yeah, I know, Lisa. I was struggling about this myself, but that's not a recommendation like a traditional recommendation. So it's more pay attention to this topic and then look into it and find a solution to it. I don't mind turning it to in a recommendation, but I think it would be such a such a light touch recommendation that, you know, if it is set or not set, it will not make a difference. That's why I'm a little bit cautious here in not calling it a recommendation. Not each word which covers, or sentence which covers the word recommendation, really is a, you know, it's in a business sense and a recommendation. It's more like we recommend to do this. Doesn't mean, you know, you can translate it into an operational plan within a period of time you can oversee. So that's why I'm a little bit hesitant to call it a recommendation. But happy to follow whatever path you all would like to take.
And Alan has his hand up.
Thank you. Can I suggest that we remove we recommend comma and replace it with the RDS, the Whois to RDS review team believes that. And leave it at that.
See what
comes out of it. And observation two may well become part of a recommendation under the outreach documentation part, depending on what
that's
kind of feedback we get.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Noted.
And this is Lisa, if I can jump in here. So by implementation of the new Whois system, I assume you mean after implementation of GDPR?
Yes.
And I believe that in order to not confuse the readers, that if these are not recommendations, they should be framed as issues under the issues section. I know that's just a documentation suggestion, but I think that it would be consistent to call these issues that are raised, but with no specific recommended action.
Unless Erica disagrees, I feel fine with you doing that move.
I'm with it. I think Lisa is spot on. That's what we will do.
Then let's move on. All right. Safeguarding Sorry, someone was going to say something. Dimitri?
Yeah, Alan, sorry, could you return to the observation too? I think we should clarify that speaking about new Whois system, we mean just a post-GDPR Whois system and not, for example, RDAP.
Well, I think that is going to imply RDAP, but I would say post GDPR.
Yeah, it's better post, to say post GDPR. Yes.
Post EPDP.
Yeah. Okay, but we should say clearly what we treat as new QoS system.
Yeah, I think all Erica was trying to say there is don't do it now. Wait till the dust has settled.
Okay. Thank you.
And
I like Ellen's second proposal, post-EDP. I don't really want to use the word GDPR in all of our contexts. Although it's not a debate, it's just a discussion which it relates to one law in one particular, so I think we have to be careful.
Look,
even if it's correct in the history, but what triggered it, I don't believe you should write it down in everywhere. So I like the post-EDPR.
Look, the board is not going to adopt these for 11 months from now, or close to
exactly.
that. 10 to 11 months. Yeah. So we don't know
maybe
what the world's going to look
that.
Like then. So I don't think we need to agonize over these particular words. The dust may be maybe a little bit more settled in December when we have to finalize this.
Yeah.
Next item, please. And that is me. Following Volker's research that was better than mine, identifying that there were indeed some vague words, I think, in the registrar agreement about how to safeguard data, I did a much more thorough study than I had previously, obviously, and found that all three agreements, registrar, registry, and escrow agreement, talk about how to protect data. They use three different sets of terminology. One of them talks about industry standard. One talks about, I don't even remember, let's see, one talks about, the registrar agreement talks about take reasonable precautions. The registry says take reasonable steps. And the escrow agreement says you use commercially reasonable efforts and industry standard safeguards. In terms of breach, the registrars do have a requirement to notify ICANN of breach. Registries and escrow agreements do not. So in light of those varying things, I did a reword of the recommendation, although this is documented earlier in the report, and ICANN board should require that the ICANN organization, in consultation with data security experts, ensure that all contracts with contracted parties to include privacy proxy services when such contracts exist, include uniform and strong requirements for the protection of registrant data and for ICANN to be notified in the event of any data breach. In carrying out this review, the data security experts should consider to what extent GDPR recommendations, which many but not all ICANN contracted parties are subject to, could and or should be used as a basis for ICANN requirements. ICANN board must either negotiate appropriate contractual changes or initiate a GNSO PDP to consider affecting such changes. So I've tried to take into account the varying wording that we had on whether GDPR should be used as a model or not. I didn't say used as a model, but I just said should consider to what extent it should be used. And instead of talking specifically about the language we should use, simply say use uniform and strong requirements for protection. Volker.
Yes, so just one small question. Should we maybe insert a word like significant or major or something before data breach? Because a data breach can be many things. A data breach could even be a registrant having his data breached, a third party outside the system of the registrar or a contracted party in this case. So should we maybe clarify what we mean by data breach or what level of breach we are looking at for any such notification requirement?
Yeah, let me ask a question before I answer it. Do things like GDPR or other national legislation talk about the level of breach when they talk about reporting requirements?
Yes, I think they do.
Okay. Then I would suggest that
it's based on individual.
Sorry, that was Carlton saying something?
Yeah, I was saying, no, data breach is all down to the individual, Alan. It's not qualified. A data breach is a data breach.
Okay, so
if it's one person is impacted.
So we have one person saying, yes, they're qualified, another person saying they're not. I think that goes along with what I was going to say. We have a queue, but let me make a suggestion and others can comment on it. I think we should put that question onto the data experts to consider what level of breach this would apply to. Erica and then Dimitri.
Ellen, I don't understand the second paragraph at all. The first, I believe, it's totally clear, and the last one as well, but the second, so what is the review? What is this referring to? Am I missing?
Okay, you're talking about the paragraph that...
Wait a second. And the second one, the reference to the GDPR. So what is the GDPR adding here in this context?
Okay, thank you. My original recommendation was silent on it. Volker suggested that since many contracted parties already will have to honor GDPR, that we should consider modeling any rules we have on GDPR. After I put those words in, Volker came back and said, well, yes, but many people are not subject to GDPR. Do we want to impose those particular rules on them? So what I did was try to find a middle ground saying consider the GDPR regulations as a basis for what we tell people, but we're not trying to be prescriptive for whether it should be used or not. I'm happy to remove the whole thing or leave it in. Dimitri,
I remember the discussion we had in Brussels, but I would really recommend to just delete a second.
Delete.
The proposal. I'm happy. It makes no sense.
I'm happy to do that if others are. Dimitri, and then we'll go to Erica, to Volker for his comments.
Well,
Dimitri.
I think that Dimitri, for the record, I think we should have a consistent policy with CCNSO regarding notification of data breach. And so if we ask data security experts about scale of data breach we need to notify, I think we should ask CCNSO among others. Thank you.
I don't think we have control over what CCNSO members do, however. And I'm sure there is no consistency among them. So I'd be reluctant to go in that direction. Volker, are you happy if we just remove that middle paragraph?
Yep.
Okay, consider it removed. Carlton.
I was about to tell you, Alan, that ICANN is a California corporation. And the state of California just have a data breach law that is probably the most stringent yet. I would dare to say that ICANN as a data controller will be subject to California law.
In that case, it makes the job of the experts really easy. My personal understanding is that ICANN is subject to California law for data breaches that occur within ICANN's domain. I don't think it applies here, but I really believe we need to have that discussion. Lisa, so we're going to remove the middle paragraph altogether, and we will modify, and I will provide you with some words modifying it to specify that the level of data breach should be the subject of discussion with the experts. Carlton, did you have something else to say?
All right, it sounds like we're closed on this one. I see Alice is typing in the action. Can we move back to strategic priority since we skipped over that one in case Catherine came back?
Sure.
I just wanted to point out she's incorporated the three recommendations that were agreed to at the face-to-face meeting. I don't believe the text of the summary text of the recommendations has changed here. It's the supporting details that she's fleshed out in her draft report. And so unless there are specific comments people would like to make at this time, my suggestion is to read the updated strategic priority report and make sure you're comfortable with the rationale given.
Is assign in recommendation two, assign responsibility, does that work without having a subject? You know, without saying two. I think it's okay. That's responsibility as a noun there. Yeah, I think it's okay. I'm happy with these. Any comments? Back to you, Lisa.
All right. So I think that brings us to executive summary, Alan.
All right. I drafted a significant part of it, and I was stuck at one point trying to decide, does the executive summary need a brief description of each of our 13 or whatever the number is subgroups? Not what they recommended, but what each of them are covering, because the executive summary otherwise ends up with, we're saying we're going to append to the executive summary in a second section the recommendations, but it doesn't really talk about, if there are no recommendations out of an area, then it's completely silent. So although it will add a significant amount of text to it, I think it's going to be a better overview to people who are trying to find out what we did to give a brief summary of the issues looked at by each of the subgroups, that preferably without actually restating the recommendations out of who is one, but trying to summarize the overall subject matter. And I had asked Susan what she thought about that, and she hasn't been able to get to it yet. But having thought about it again, I think not having it is going to make it far too vague what we're doing. And we'll leave out from the executive summary any mention of things that don't have follow-on recommendations coming out of it. So that's where I sit right now, and I'm happy to try to complete it today if that indeed is sounds like a good way forward. I've tried to make the whole executive summary stand completely on its own, so it should make, just like the executive summary from the first Who Is review team, it doesn't presume everyone knows everything about Who Is to start with, but spends a bit of time at the beginning trying to say what is it we're talking about, and then go on to the details. Carlton, please go ahead.
Yes, Alan, I agree that it will probably assist in making more better sense, contextual sense of the recommendations. I would just caution that because you're going to have an extensive methodology portion, you just probably need to have a few sentences that cover the subgroups and not go too deeply into what they do or how they did.
Yeah, and that part I think I already did. Susan, if you've had any chance to look at it, make some comments now. If not, then unless you have an objection, you can pretty well ignore what I sent you and wait for the next version. Susan?
Sorry, I was typing. No, I just have not had time, nor the brain cells, to do it.
That's fine.
So I will wait for your next one and then turn it fairly rapidly.
Okay, thank you. Done. Back to you, Lisa, or I'm not sure what we're doing next.
I'll give it back to Alice for the face-to-face meeting in just a moment. Just to remind you all, though, as you're taking your last cut at these drafts. Those of you who have action items to make additional edits, get those back out to the review team so that in our next call next Monday, we'll be in a position to raise any final concerns about the entire document, not just these one-liners for the recommendations.
Okay, thank you. Before we turn it over to Alice, I'd like to say how pleased and perhaps surprised I am that as much of the work that we've committed to do was actually done. What we committed to doing out of the Brussels meeting was rather ambitious, given that normally it takes a week for people to, somehow get back into their regular life, catch up with what they missed, and get back to start doing things. So I was really pleased to see how much effort was put into this. Thank you. And back to, over to you, Alice, please.
Thanks, Alan. All right, so this will be very brief. I just wanted to flag for everyone that we have a request for input on the face-to-face meeting number 4, potential conflicts. So we've outlined the dates that do not work for the meetings team, but we want to hear from all of you whether you have any conflicts in the November-December timeframe that we need to be aware of for planning purposes. So if you haven't had a chance to submit your input yet, please do so by tomorrow, 23:59 UTC. And then we'll compile all the input for next steps. Any questions?
My only comment, it's Alan, is that I'm most comfortable at this point with early December, that I think we need as much time as we can to process the recommendation, the outcome of the public comment, and perhaps actually get a fair amount of the outcome of the public comments addressed in teleconferences, and use, be in a position so by the time we leave the face-to-face meeting, we may have a significant, a document close to ready to ship. To the extent that we're talking about a 3-day meeting at this point, and with the understanding that we may well, adjourn for 6 hours or 3 hours or something, have people do some rewriting as we go ahead and keep on, get to the point where we really have a document. Once we leave a meeting that's close to Christmas, we can't assume a lot's going to be done. And although we, in theory, could go into January to do the final cleanup, that obviously is not optimal. And part of it, of course, and I'm not going to put her on the spot right now, part of it is whether we can convince Lisa to participate in that meeting or work before or after it. And that may cause us to rethink exactly how we're going to do the work, depending on what the answer is. But as I said, I don't think we can ask or expect an answer right now, but that's going to be one of the considerations. Erica, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted, but I believe you clarified it, because my question was, can we narrow the time down so that we have a greater understanding which month or which week we are talking about? But I got your point, so
yeah, well,
that's
the
why
comment
I took
will,
down my hand.
The comment will end at the end, beginning of November. Staff says that they'll probably be able to do something in a week or so, depending, of course, on what the volume of comments is, which we cannot control. So my inclination is to target somewhere around the beginning of December, which is still gives a bit of time after before the holidays start. And if necessary, we can also run into January to do the final editing and cleanup. Right now, I think the report is, Lisa has done a huge amount of work on it, but there's always going to be style differences, but I think the level of consistency still needs some work, and make sure that the language is clear in all cases. And so I'd like more time rather than less to do the final editing, but I don't want to rush it too much to make sure that we have had chance to process the public comments.
Yeah, thanks.
Back to you, Alice. At this point, we need to find out what times are not good. And Volker has just put a note in saying he's not available 27th, 29th. And Alice, back to you on getting input for other times that we need to block out.
Thanks, Simon. So what we'll do is we'll compile all the information from team members for the leadership call on Wednesday, and then we'll decide on next steps then. Because as you know, we've got a 90-day deadline for meeting requests and so on.
Yeah.
So
thank you very
much. Thanks everyone for that. Yes. All right. So the next item we have on the agenda is AOB. There we go. So under AOB, we wanted to flag that the meeting report for Brussels, face-to-face meeting number 3, was approved by the leadership and submitted to the full review team for any comments or edits that anyone may have. And we suggest sending your edits or comments by August 10th, 2359 UTC, so this Friday. And I wanted to know if that works for everyone. I'm not hearing any.
I always preferred having the weekend, but we had a plea to allow the weekend for people reviewing it before the meeting, so I can live with that. How many people will actually have a chance to review it is going to be clear. It's going to be a challenge, but.
Okay. So what about August 13th as a deadline then? I think that will address the ask for the weekend.
Well, if that's the deadline, what are we doing next week? What are we doing on our meeting next week? That won't have had it. You won't have had a chance to assimilate anything.
So this is the meeting report, so face-to-face number 3, so it's just a...
Sorry, I thought you were on the next one.
Yeah. No,
okay.
No.
Yeah, meeting report, okay. I think it's fine.
Okay,
obviously, if people can get them by Friday, that's better.
Yeah, perfect. So I'll shut that down. All right, and then and by the way, I didn't have...
Alice?
Oops, sorry, go ahead. Yes, Lisa?
Thanks. Yeah, this is Lisa for the transcript. Just to point out, obviously our work is ongoing. We're refining some of these recommendations. So when you review the meeting report, it will give the text of the recommendations as agreed at the meeting. I suggest we not try to continually update the meeting report to track ongoing work, but just to agree, does that accurately reflect what we discussed at the meeting? And we can have the caveat that work is ongoing.
I agree.
Thanks, Lisa. And then the other item we had on the AOB is the objective relative to the potential amendments to Section 4.6E of the ICANN bylaws. So there's an objective in your terms of reference that is tied to this bylaw language. And essentially, you're to suggest any change, amendments, or removals from the bylaw language for this review. And we want the leadership asked if anyone has any suggestions on items they'd like to see included under that.
Yeah. Thank you, Alice. It's Alan speaking. I think we've pretty well decided we're going to remove the section on OECD. It was being deemed to be obsolete and is redundant with the section on safeguarding registrant data. I haven't heard any other suggestions on the bylaws, but obviously it's something we need to think about. So I will put in, you can put an action item for me to put in some words under that section to talk about OECD. And I vaguely remember I wrote some words already, although I cannot for the life of me remember where I wrote them. But in the last couple of days I did write some words related to redundancy and obsolescence. If anyone remembers reading them, tell me where I wrote them.
Thanks, Alan. Great. Has anyone else have any other business you want to touch on before we close the call?
Is it possible to quickly put up our timeline, the one-page description of all the dead, the checkpoints along the way over the next month. That's something you can find quickly.
Yes, hold on. All right, it's loading.
All right, so next week we have another meeting to do a further review of any comments. Now, when are we likely to see a consolidated document come out, pulling together all of the bits and pieces we have now? Lisa, are you doing that this week, or are you still asking us to work on our individual sections?
I understood the plan was for team members to be reviewing the individual sections for Monday's call. Many of you have actions to update your individual sections. So I think that's the only practical way to move forward. If you want us to try to pull together a consolidated document this week, we could, but I'm afraid it would be a bit piecemeal.
No, I think that's fine. Are the documents on the wiki being updated to reflect the most current document at the top of the pile in each case?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so we don't have to go through. We can either use the latest email on the section or the wiki.
Correct.
All right. Excellent. Then I think perhaps a reminder going out now of to what people are supposed to be doing over the next week. And I think we're done. Any further comments before we do a review of action items? And we're running a little bit late today, but we should be finished shortly. I see no hands, so back over to you, Alice.
And Alan, just one more thing,
sure.
Which is, although it's not displayed on the screen in front of us, Friday the 10th of August is the deadline for those of you who have actions from today's call to have any revised text out.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you. So in terms of action items, reminder to Volker, Stephanie, and Chris to submit their revised statement of interest as soon as possible. Stephanie, to circulate or completed anything new subgroup report by 2359 UTC today. If deadline is not met, Susan and Ali will finalize the section for inclusion into the draft report. Data accuracy plan and annual reports to be reviewed next week. All review team members to review all drafts and be prepared to raise any final edits on Monday's call. And holders to complete all of the above edits by 2359 UTC, 10th of August. Review team members to send any edits, comments they may have on the Brussels meeting report by August 13th, 2359 UTC. I can order to send reminders on the homework assignments to the list. On outreach, add modify 3.1, 3.2 to imply an ongoing action. On compliance, students to incorporate a note about percentage number being under review and community input is welcome. On privacy proxy services, ICANN order to apply editorial change, the ICANN board should recommend to the next review team to rec 10.2 and also 12.1. On common interface, Volker to update recommendation 11.1 and 0.2 to reflect the compliance monitor results for patterns that may indicate non-compliance and take appropriate action. Volker to refine the wording, and then Volker to refine supporting text for recommendation 11.2. On IDNs, ICANN org to apply editorial change to ICANN board should recommend the student rec review team to 12.1 and 10.2. Plan and annual reports, ICANN org to flag portion of transcript for Lily that pertains to Alan's rationale on proposed alternative for rec 15.1. really to clarify what annual report refers to, and Alan's alternative suggestion for Regulation 15.1 is agreed by those on the call, with typos corrected and additional refining on annual reports. Law enforcement needs on LE1, Catherine, to update the effectiveness of WHOIS 2 with the effectiveness of WHOIS in meeting the needs of law enforcement. Catherine, to remove the phrase "and others of legitimate purpose" and use cybersecurity and related professionals instead. Catherine, to split second bullet into separate recommendation LE.2, which refers specifically to cybersecurity and related professionals and explains how this is related to meeting law enforcement needs. On consumer trust, Erica, to move observations under issue section. Erica, to delete recommend replace with the review team beliefs. Erica, to replace new WHOIS system with WHOIS after GDPR implementation. And then under safeguarding registrant data, Alan, to remove second paragraph, i.e. in carrying out for ICANN requirements. And then Alan, to modify language to specify that level of data breach should be the subject of discussion with data security experts. Strategic priority, the recommendations are agreed as presented, no edits. Draft report, ICANN.org, to standardize the RDS with 2 throughout the draft report, consistent with the terms of reference. And on amendments, Alan, to suggest language relative to the OECD. Is there any need for an edit or comment? A lot was accomplished today.
I think you lulled everyone to sleep, I'm afraid. We've never had such a long action item list from a teleconference. All right, we're a few minutes over, and some of us have some other things we're late for at this point, at least I do. So thank you very much for the call. I think it's been a very productive call. Look forward to a busy week and another call next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alan. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Thanks, all.